You are tuned in to the Get Connected podcast. I'm Mike Agarbo here with Carmi Levy. And on today's show, I want to honor March, which is Fraud Prevention Month. And I didn't want to honor it, but I'm doing that now because I was a victim of fraud. And Carmi, I can't believe this because I have guests on the show all the time talking about how not to be defrauded, essentially. And here I am. I fell for it.
Don't be ashamed. It happens to everyone, Mike. And the part of the problem, it has become the problem that it does, is because no one wants to talk about it, because they're embarrassed. And we shouldn't be. We should scream it from the tallest tower so that other folks are aware of what it looks like and that they can prevent themselves from becoming victims. If we don't share this information, no one knows. So, this is part of that process. I'm happy to be a part of it.
So in today's program, I'm going to tell my story about what happened. I didn't lose a lot of money. So it's about Facebook Marketplace and how I got defrauded out of an e-transfer deposit. So I guess just yesterday, Carmi, I was, on my computer at work, and it was a busy day, like a lot going on. And it popped up on my feed. There was this a kind of almost like a garage sale type thing. Someone was getting rid of their parents' furniture because they were downsizing them. And, there were some couches and TV, and I saw this little patio set. And, I was kind of half looking for a patio set if something had come along. But, those things are expensive sometimes. And this one here, was listed at $250. It was just a small little one. I'm like, this is not bad. So I messaged this person and I offered $200. They're like, sure. I'm like, oh, great. Okay. Well, what's your address? I can pick this up, tomorrow. And then about 10 minutes go by and, this person messages me back and, says, hey, we'll do $200. Do you mind doing a deposit? Because I have a lot of people. Facebook Marketplace is kind of flaky. I just want to kind of lock this down so that I know that, someone's coming to pick it up. And it just sounded so legit. And I just wasn't thinking, right? Because I would never do that. But here I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll e-transfer you. What's your address? Well, or what's your phone number? Well, here, can you send it to my partner's email address? He's looking after all the money. And so it's this weird Gmail email address. I'm like, oh, okay. And so I just go into my banking app and I send $50. And no sooner than I did that, about 2 minutes after, I'm like, wait a minute. Like, why did I do that? Like, I haven't done any really due diligence on this person. So first of all, and, we're going to talk about some lessons along the way that I completely, overlooked. I looked at the Facebook profile of this person and there was nothing. It was just her cover photo that was taken last month, that was posted last month. Nothing else. And that is the first lesson.
She has no life.
So, unless she's in the witness protection program and just trying to hide everything, which, typically most people are
very active on Marketplace. You never know.
Yeah. There was nothing. No friends, nothing. Nothing about her in the about info. And I'm just like, oh my God, I think I've been swindled. So I asked for a phone number just so that I could have that. And, pretty quickly gave me a phone number with a 209 area code. Do you know where that is, Carmi? The Maldives.
Yeah. Probably somewhere far away in Loveland.
And
it's interesting, selling something from the Maldives. And,
right? And, I'm out here in Vancouver in the suburbs, and I was in the White Rock buy and sell, community group. And so she sends me the address, and it's in Delta, which is from where I am 45 minutes away. So then that's another clue. Like, why are you advertising in this local group and you're not even in that city or town, essentially? That's clue number two, right? Which,
yeah, because there is no patio set and it's
no
anywhere. They're just looking for the money.
And then she just kept going, hey, can you send me confirmation that it was sent? Can you send me a screenshot? And I'm like, why? Why do you need that? If it's an e-transfer, you'll just get it, right? And it's just so adamant about it. It just kept on me. I'm like, hey, step back. So I went into my banking app and tried to cancel it. And it it wouldn't let me. CIBC wouldn't let me. I kept getting error messages saying, you know, the thing's already in process. It can't be stopped.
Now there's no pulling it back.
No. And
thanks, CIBC.
Yeah. And so that's when, you know, the panic really set in. And thank God it was only $50, Carmi, because, you know, if she had asked for the whole thing, I might have done it. Because I wasn't thinking.
Because in the moment, you think, oh, that's a great patio set, reasonable price, fairly close by, or go for a bit of a drive. You're not thinking that. And we're not conditioned to think cynicism first. We're not conditioned to disbelieve first. We want to believe the best in people. And criminals take advantage of that. They take advantage of the fact that we assume that everything that we encounter in the digital space or in a Facebook Marketplace post is on the up and up. And increasingly, that's not the case. And this is a really, you know, it's a hard-won lesson, but a really good lesson all the same about validating, never trusting that someone that you're dealing with in the digital space is who they say they are until you're sure that they are who they say they are. And it's interesting that the being so adamant about ensuring that the payment was sent through and sending you a screenshot, that's another, what we like to call tell in cases like this, that the behaviors that you should be on, you know, sort of on guard for, that illustrate that someone is, you know, being a scammer, that it isn't a legitimate, because no legitimate vendor would ever A, ask for that kind of information, or B, that adamant about it, be that nervous about it, you know, sort of lead with that to the exclusion of all else. You put it all together, you know, the ghost-like profile with no activity associated with it, and those other behaviors and the weird phone number. And each one of those is like a giant tell. And you found out in time, but, you know, for anyone else who is engaged in buy and sell online, never believe that the person that you're engaged with is who they say they are, and go through that due diligence. You learned in time, but, you know, this can save, hopefully, many of our listeners the same heartache.
So I just want to summarize the lessons, you know, that I know, but for the other folks out there, again, check their Facebook profile. You know, how long have they been on there? If it's not long, that's, you know, that's not typically great, especially if they're older folks. And, you know, the picture of this couple, it was like they're in their, it looked like 30s or 40s. If they have no history, that's a tell, like you're saying. And if the deal sounds too good to be true, it's probably, it's a fake. Again, ask for the phone number, check the area code. If it's not a local area code, that's another tell. Don't do e-transfer deposits. You know, some people ask for it, but I'm never going to do that ever again. And here was the kicker, because, you know, looking at the photo, Carmi, and it just seemed a little off to me. And so there's this online image detector that you can use that can spot AI-generated photos. And it's a website. It's called Is It AI? And so it's isitai.com. Is it AI? So just do kind of the first letters of the word there. And so I uploaded the photo in there, and it was a 98% probability that it was generated by AI.
Not even real. I love it.
And so I'm messaging this person. They're still messaging me. I'm like, hey, I want my money back. And she's like, hey, you know what? You're trying to scam me. I'm like, wait a minute. No, you're trying to scam me.
You're trying to scam me.
Yeah. And I'm like, hey, your image is fake. And she's like, no, you're fake.
Now, they often don't know local. And that's one of the tests that I often use, that if I'm trying to validate if a vendor, someone I want to buy from on Marketplace, I'll ask questions about pickup locations and the local area, and I'll see if they know it. And if they don't, that's another kind of obvious, that they sort of cast a wide net across a number of neighborhoods because they think they know, you know, they think they're going to find victims there, but they really don't know anything about the neighborhoods they're targeting or the people who live there.
We're talking all about getting scammed on Marketplace, but this brings up my next thing, Carmi, because this happens a lot on Marketplace. I hear about it all the time. Why can't Facebook actually, if you want to sell stuff on Marketplace, verify you in some way?
You see, it's interesting. I've asked that question how many times because of Facebook's monumental challenges with account validation. You know, for example, look at how often you get a friend request from an account that looks very familiar to you. And then you check your friend network and you realize, I'm already friends with that person. And now there's another account that looks just like them. But you do a little bit of digging and you realize there's no activity on that account. It was just set up. There are no other members of their network, and they haven't posted anything. So it's a ghost account. Clearly, it was a cloned account that scraped information from the legitimate account and is trying to get you to connect with a total stranger as the basis for additional cyber fraud. So, you know, the fact that this is Facebook that has this problem already makes it pretty clear why fraudsters are focusing on Marketplace in particular as a place to do their business, because they know full well the technology, Facebook or Meta in this case, doesn't really care about investing in ways of validating who's using its services, which makes it really easy to pretend to be someone else, makes it really easy to commit fraud.
Yeah, it's disturbing. Like, they're they could totally cut down on this, by, again, verifying. But obviously, that's a barrier to entry, and it would make it more difficult for a large audience, because some people would not be bothered to want to do that, essentially, to verify themselves.
No, it's not exactly. And if you have to jump through hoops in order to authenticate onto a service, it ends up with people will just stop. They'll give up and walk away, which means, from the perspective of a company like Meta, they'll have fewer people on their platforms, which goes against their profitability motive. And at the end of the day, it's all about the biggest possible network. And even if a good chunk of that network is fraudulent, that's not what they say to investors when they report their quarterly earnings. And so they don't want to report lower numbers, even if they're validated numbers. It is such a bizarre, we've gotten to such a bizarre place in tech that this is even a thing, that these companies have no interest in protecting the identities of those who use it or validating the identities, which then sets them up to be very porous from a cybersecurity perspective. It's really easy to get scammed on it because of the way it's been designed and managed.
Yeah, and one final thing that I did is, you know, you're talking about checking identities, because I had the woman's name, and then because I had email transferred, the deposit, I had her partner's name. Well, these are all fake names, right? I looked them up. I looked them both up on all the social media sites and LinkedIn, and they don't exist anywhere. So, you know, if they don't exist anywhere, because everyone has some type of digital footprint. And so, you know, if you don't have a LinkedIn profile and you're not on any of the social networks, that's another kind of clue, I would say.
Yeah, I had someone who was interested in my, because I'm a photographer in my spare time. And I had someone who followed me on social media and was interested in my photography, and, you know, said, I like these pictures and this is what I'm willing to pay. I'm a collector. I work with high-end clients. I thought, oh, that's interesting. That's wonderful. So I sent him a note. I said, well, how else would I know you? Right? Like, tell me where your business presence is if you're so established. He had no website, no LinkedIn profile, no any profile. The guy was a ghost. So clearly it was a created presence to mask the fact that he was a fraudster, and he wanted to direct anyone whose photos he was interested in to a crypto platform where he would essentially rob them blind. So obviously that didn't go very far. Obviously I reported the account, but it really does show the lengths to which individuals will go to create these personas and then trick us into believing that those personas are real. And so we really do have to kind of slow it down, back away from the precipice, and do our due diligence, do our homework to make sure that when we engage with someone in any commercial capacity online, that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt they are. And if we can't answer that question, we should not be engaging with them.
Don't forget, we always have contests going on at our website, getconnectedmedia.com, giving away a Google Pixel smartphone, courtesy of the folks over at the TELUS Friendly Future Foundation. TELUS is a big telecom carrier here in Canada, and they do all sorts of great things for the community here, especially for students and helping with bursaries. Again, if you want to enter to win and find out more information about the good stuff they do, go to getconnectedmedia.com. And if you win, you also get $250 courtesy of TELUS to give to your favorite charity as well. I want to thank Carmi, as always, for helping co-host the program. This is all the time we have left today. We'll see you again on the next podcast. Bye for now.